Morning. It is so good to be back with you. So before we get started, because I bring back some blessings and I bring back some greetings and I bring back affection for The Rock and all of you and all of those that aren't here today from Kenny and Maureen, who we'll see shortly in April, I believe, as well as from King's City Church in Bulawayo. Vessi and Somin lead that church, and they pray for us here and love us and are believing God for us. And so I'd like to bring their greetings and their love and their blessing to you and ask you to remember them. That's where Cassandra's going. Remember them and their church in prayer, as well as I bring greetings and blessings from Westside Church International in Johannesburg, Francis and the Dean and their church also love you and pray for you and are affectionately joined to you. When we were there, they asked me to preach there, and what they didn't tell me is that that Sunday that they asked me to preach was their move day. So they moved from one facility to a new facility. And so what they what they did is they and with the new church sanctuary is right across the street from the old one. So they told everybody just to come to church, and they all met in the old one. And then Francis got up and said, "We're going to the new sanctuary, and the street in between the two is the Jordan, and we're going to cross Jordan today." And so where they were meeting was like a classroom-sized room. And they had like over 100 people in there. I don't know how they fit those people in there. But it was just standing room only. And then everybody got up and we crossed the road and we went into this massive sanctuary, beautiful new sanctuary that had just been built. In fact, they were still putting the finishing touches on that building when we went in. And I was the first one to deliver the word of God there. So very, very humbling and very honoring. But I had been, over the 6 weeks or so in prep, very affectionately joined to Westside because they blessed our church so much. And Kenny and Maureen have come here often and blessed us, and they're from there. And so I really connected with them. It was just Len and I. And the third church is Destiny Life in Stanga, right down the beach from Durban. Dan and Chantel lead that church. And they also love you, and they also pray for you, and are affectionate to this church. And so I bring their love and their blessings to you. And so it was great to see, you know, that we're not alone out here in Terrace, that we are connected. And that's the three churches we visited. I'm sure there's many, many churches that pray for us here. And it was just good to see those people and to meet our brothers and sisters over there and remember to pray for them as well. They have unique needs there. Cape Town is in a drought, a very severe drought. It could become a national disaster if they don't get water soon. And so they, Cape Town really needs our prayers. Amen. Did you want to say hello?
So you put me on the spot here. What am I supposed to talk about? Where? Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness. I was just with the children, and my heart was just with them introducing our theme of the month, which is acts of kindness. So we were just brainstorming about how we could be kind with our mom and dads, our teachers, visit an elderly person and bringing them cookies. So now I was not in Africa. But Africa was great. I mean, we did a wonderful trip, met a lot of people with different churches, and were able to bring God's love from Canada. And boy, when you go to Africa, you don't come back the same. Yeah, it has been a wonderful time with Dan and Chantal, And all of the people, I mean, there was prophetic words for them about so many different things that happened. But a lot of the prophetic was individual, praying for individual as well as the church, you know, an increase, always increase for God's presence, more people to come in. Same with Nadine and Francis. Again, there was just so many words of encouragement. The people just were so excited. There was a new beginning for them as well in a new hall. So we were able to be a part of that because they were basically in a smaller area, and then we walk across to the other hall, and then it could seat to 500 people. And interestingly enough is that night while I was just waiting on God to see, you know, what's the word for the church and such, and I really felt that the harvest was going to be coming in, that there would be an increase. And when we shared that, and it was like within the next 5 years up to 500 people, and I didn't even know that the hall would seat 500 people. So that was pretty exciting for everybody, so that their heart went to prayer, and we trusted for that. We were trusting together for that to come to pass. So I don't know if you want me to talk about the game park or all of this stuff.
But over coffee.
Oh, yeah, over coffee we'll do that. So our trip was such a blessing. Our lives are changed. It was wonderful to be with the leaders, the people of God all over, and just to be a part of Africa. But mostly, primarily, our heart was to go see where Cassandra was going and go before her. And we had such a witness of God's anointing, God's presence, scriptures that was brought forth that it were very similar that we would get as well. So the people where she's going are receiving her with loving arms, and it was such a joyful time for us to meet them, to know where she's going to be and the calling of God upon her life. So that was one of our primarily, obviously, visit to Zimbabwe, and to learn about the country. They most definitely have a new government now, so they need prayer. So obviously now our lives will never be the same. We'll remember Zimbabwe in our prayer, and we'll trust God for changing the people in that area. Yeah. So we know our princess is going there because God is calling her, and there's going to be an influence for that nation. So we're pretty excited. I'm not too excited about her leaving because she's my best friend. But I know that it's exciting because God's got her hand. He's got her in the middle of her, you know, the palm of her hand, and she's going to just go and bless people as it is our commission. Love you guys.
So I do have one thing to share about Zimbabwe and Africa in general. I woke up early one morning and I started counting the ways that you can die there. And there's a lot of ways to die there. In fact, I've never been so close to so many ways to die. Like, everything kills you there. The little bugs kill you. Little ones. You can't even see some of them that can kill you. The diseases can kill you. The reptiles can kill you. The animals can kill you. I mean, even the water can kill you. The sunlight can kill you there. There is just people. Like, a lot of people can kill you. I mean, I don't know how many times I was told, like, don't walk down there because they'll kill you for your shoes. And so I'm counting this and I'm going, okay, I know the elders are covering us, and we're not here alone. And then God gave me a scripture: don't fear the one that can kill you, but fear him who can kill you and then throw you into hell. And that was comforting, actually. So that was one of the revelations that I came to when I was there. It was life-changing. It's kind of funny now, but no lie. I in the city center, Johannesburg, is a big graveyard. And it looks just like one of ours. Big stone headstones and everything. But the difference is, when we drove by, there was like 50 fresh graves. So it's things that kill you there, and people die there. And so it's pretty serious. But if God is with you, God is with you. And I think that's why it says fear him. Or like reverence God. Stay close to God. And know that you're called. Like Cassandra knows. She's called. She goes with God. You know. Mike, you would have been crawling in your skin. Like when we slept at Vesey's house the first time, I mean, I go in there and getting ready for bed, and across the wall, a spider about that big. I'm like, okay, I'll kind of get something. And I turned around, it's gone. Where'd he go? And I couldn't find it. But it's just, so it's, anyway, have fun, Cassandra. Yeah, that's the title of the message this morning. 101 things that can kill you in Africa. No. We were in Bulawayo for 3 days. We were gone for 32. So although we went there as parents, and we went there to put our feet down where Cassandra's going to be in that, we were there in that capacity. And it's Cassandra's call. And it's where what she's doing and where God's taking her. So we were there for only 3 days. And then we did a 5.5-hour road trip up to Victoria Falls after that. Then we took a jet back to Johannesburg, and we actually did 3 road trips and 3 interior flights while we were there, and we covered a lot of ground, met a lot of people. They don't want you to go hungry there. I didn't lose a pound. I probably gained 10. Because you go from one place and they feed you, and then you get dropped off and somebody else picks you up, and you go to another place and they feed you. And I knew what to say. We're going to eat, right? Because I knew that's what would happen. So anyway, there's a lot of stories there. This morning, the word that the Lord gave me for the church this morning is increase. Increase of faith, Christian living, and the church. And while we were in Africa, we kept getting reports from the Rock Terrace of what's happening here. And it was like a parallel journey, because we heard so many good reports from the Rock Terrace and what's happening here. And then we'd visit a church, and great things were happening in that church. And it was like rejoicing. So just to start it off, I want to read a statement. It's actually a scripture verse. You might recognize it. Faith is a setting, substructure, or foundation to receive something that actually exists, and being of real substance results in steadfast resolution of mind, giving the individual courage and confidence for the things they hope for. Hebrews. Hebrews 11:1. Thank you, Tim. Hebrews 11:1. If you read it in your Bible, it'll sound a little different than that. But if you go into the Greek and dissect it, it's going to sound like that. And I believe in the first century church, when they heard these words, that's what they heard. That faith is a setting. Faith is a setting for the thing you hope for. A setting is like the open prongs of a gold ring that are widened to receive the gemstone. That's a setting. You might have heard of that terminology, a ring setting. But that's what a setting is. The scriptures say faith is a setting. It is what is necessary to make place for the thing that's to be received. Without the setting, there will be no gem in the ring. It also says that it's a foundation. And it's the foundation for the anticipated building. And we know, and there's builders here, but we can understand that it freezes here. And the Africans thought that was quite funny. I would tell, they would take something, like we'd buy popsicles or something, and they would say, oh, we got to get these into the freezer because they're melting. And I said, oh, yeah, we'd just take those and put them outside our door. And they would laugh at that. But here we understand that the ground freezes. So when we put a footing down, we put it below frost. So 4 feet down. Faith is also a foundation, and it's in anticipation for a building. No one digs down below the frost line and pours a massive concrete footing without fully intending to put a real building there. Nobody would take and dig a big hole and pour a bunch of concrete and then backfill it all and plant grass. It's useless. So when a footing's put down, it's in fully intended to put a real structure there, not an imaginary structure, a real one. So faith, when it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that's Hebrews 11:1. When it says that, it means that there is an anticipation of something real to come, tangible, touchable, real. It says in the scriptures that we are a spiritual house built up, living stones. It says that we are built upon a footing, a foundation. The foundation of the prophets and the apostles and Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And unlike us, after we put the footing down and we've got the concrete in, we backfill and cover the footing. But not God. When he laid the foundations of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus being the chief cornerstone, he left the foundation in full sight. He wants us to build upon the teachings of the prophets and the apostles and of Jesus Christ, who is prophet and who is apostle chief. True faith within the people of God is a necessary forerunner for everything God brings into existence through the church. True faith is a forerunner, and without it, things don't come into existence. Real, tangible things don't come into existence. Because without faith, there's no pleasing God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That is first faith. Believing that God exists. That is first faith. Faith. There's a scripture that says the devils believe and they tremble. It's first faith. It's not saving faith. It's believing God exists. You can believe God exists and not be saved. But it's first. It's the beginning. There's another scripture that says faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But what is love? Without love, we can do nothing. Love is a motivation. Love is not faith. Love is motivation. Without love, you can do nothing. Faith is work. James says, faith without works is dead. Faith is work. Love motivates you to do something. Without love, you can do nothing. Faith is the doing. Faith works. I want to break this out into four areas. First, faith, which is to believe God exists. And then saving faith, which is trusting Jesus to keep your eternal soul safe. Trusting Jesus to keep your eternal soul safe. saving faith. Then there's daily needs faith. That's trusting Jesus to meet your everyday needs. Your rent, your food, your clothing, your accommodation, your transportation, such things. Daily needs faith. Then there's trusting God for increase. And that's faith to do a greater work. And you need to get through the first three faiths to do a greater work. You need to get through first faith, which is to believe God exists. If there's any atheists in the house, that's your first step. Okay? And I don't say that jokingly. We've had atheists in the house and have sat here for months. But that's first faith. You believe God exists. Then the gospel's preached, and faith comes through the preaching of the gospel, and you receive Jesus Christ and what he did. And you have just entrusted your eternal soul to God, trusting that he's going to bring you into glory, into eternal life with him, and not pass by the off-ramp into an eternity without God. You know, there's a highway, and there is many on-ramps. There's only one off-ramp, and that's Jesus, because there is no other name named among men where we can be saved but Jesus. And that's the off-ramp into eternity. We all start on this same highway and on-ramps onto this highway, but once you pass the off-ramp, no matter how gleeful you are with, I don't need God, you pass the off-ramp and go into eternity without God, that highway, as AC/DC would say, that is a highway to hell. Nobody says that too much, but it's the absolute truth. And if you do not off-ramp to Christ, you remain on that highway, and no matter how gleeful you are about that, once you're past and you've entered eternity and all of your goals and desires to do whatever you wanted to do without God are taken away from you, and you have to go to the destination of that road. That's saving faith. Then there's daily needs faith. Daily needs faith is seek God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Your needs. So there's a scripture that says, Matthew 6:28-34, and why do you worry about clothing or about eating or about living. Actually, I should just read it. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. So, if we grow in faith or increase in faith, we need to know that God's going to take care of us, or we will have little faith. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Where shall we live? Who's going to fix our car? How can we make our payments? These type of things. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father already knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So that is daily needs faith. It is necessary to trust God for your daily needs and to know that God will take care of you every day so that you can go beyond. beyond that. Worry and anxiety are anti-faith. Worry and anxiety troubling your soul is anti-believing, anti-faith. It is against what can happen in God. It kills your ability to trust God. And the faith to do the work of the kingdom of God cannot operate if you're worrying about your daily needs. Mo, you read a scripture this morning. It says that the poor, you read a scripture, it said something like, and the poor will be delivered from all his trouble if he trusts God. Well, I saw a lot of poor people. Bulawayo has 650,000 people, several thousand white people, and the rest of them black people, and all of them, except a few, are very, very poor. The unemployment rate in Zimbabwe is 92 or 95%. And as North American as I am, I figured that nobody would be doing anything when I got there, since 95% is almost everybody unemployed. But what I found, and I don't have my wallet on me, but my wallet, which is in the truck, has $80 billion in it. Okay, $80 billion. $80 billion from Zimbabwe. And it's not worth the paper it's printed on. Their country went bankrupt. So there's no money. I went to four banks there, and I tried to get $50, and I couldn't. They would whisper and say, sorry, the bank has no money. They're bankrupt. So what I expected to find there was a bunch of people that couldn't do anything because they're so poor. Nothing to be done. But what I found was a miracle. And a revelation that when nations fail you, and that nation, that government failed the people of Zimbabwe and stole all of the prosperity and took it for themselves, failed the people. The people ignore the government. And they go about their business. It's called the informal market. So they're working, but they're not considered in the statistics because they don't have a formal job. So they don't pay income tax. There's no formal employment. But what a buzz of activity. And all entrepreneurs, all of them, business people, thousands and thousands of business people everywhere. And they're doing business. And there's an informal flow of money. So we got some, but we didn't get it from a bank. We got it from so-and-so who knew so-and-so who knew so-and-so. There's a saying in Zimbabwe, we'll make a plan. I've heard it before, but now I've been there and I know what it means. There was one of the elders in the church here that Cassandra will be attending owns a little photocopy business that he created. And in this business, he creates curriculum. And in that, he sells curriculum to teachers because there is no way. They can't get stuff. The government's not giving them anything. And he's got this little business that he created. Well, the government's not allowing him to bring supplies into Bulawayo for him to continue his business. So he gets supplies through what's called runners. They run supplies into the country. Well, while I was there, he used me as a runner. We were about to leave, and he gave me an envelope, and he said, take this to Kenny. I said, oh, he's giving Kenny an honorarium or something, I don't know. And I said, great. So I threw it there, and he said, no, I need these things. This much money taken to this bank in South Africa and deposited into this business account to pay for my supplies. And I need this much money to get to this other bank in South Africa to be deposited into this business account to pay for these supplies. And then I went, wow, maybe I shouldn't give this job to Kenny. He's pretty busy. So what I did is I made a plan. And that's what they do. That's a plan. That was his plan. I need my supplies. I need to make payments, and I can't get out of the country. I'm too poor. And I'm not allowed to mail it. I'm not allowed to pay it online. I'm not allowed. See, I was online at my bank in Canada, in Zimbabwe, and they cut me off. And then I couldn't access my bank anymore. I had to go through some internet methods to do the banking. But he's totally gridlocked. So he made a plan. I'll use this guy who's going to get across the border to pay my bill. So then I made a plan. I don't want to take money out of the country and get arrested or whatever. So I go and I pay my my lodging with his money. Then I get out of the country and I go to the bank in South Africa and I pull his money back out of my account and go to the other two banks and pay those bills. That's making a plan. That's what they mean. They are super entrepreneurs. And they are actually grassroots lifting the nation by their ingenuity and their enthusiasm and their business skill and their commitment. So it was quite interesting to me to see that. I am going to frame that $80 billion and put it on my wall because I'm a billionaire. I'm a billion. Most billionaires aren't worth anything. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, an honest billionaire, it's not worth anything. I'm going to give it all away. No. Okay. So back to worry and anxiety. You see, that daily needs faith is a precursor to doing the works of God. The works of God are big, beyond, more than us. But if you worry about your daily needs and the struggles of life and the cares of this world, you can't see the big things come to pass because it won't work. Daily needs faith is something that you can possess because God has given to us. He's promised to meet our needs. And once secure in that, then you can step into the big things. In 2 Peter 1:9, it says, whoever lacks these qualities, that would be 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 8, if you want to read them. But in verse 9, it says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Okay, so he's back at, I know God exists. I know God exists, but I have forgotten that Jesus forgave me. So if you're wrestling with, I don't know if I'm saved. If you're wrestling with, I don't know if I'm forgiven. You're back here at, I know God exists. I just don't know if I'm saved or forgiven. You must come into, it isn't up to me. Jesus paid for my sins. I have received his free gift. I am forgiven. Now saving faith rests. There's a very, very good scripture about that. I'm not following my notes much. I'm going to go right to Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. This is a very, very good scripture. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. Did you get that word? Move beyond. Move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taking forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance. That's back. Don't lay again the foundation of repentance. If you're struggling with guilt, condemnation, don't know if I'm saved. No, the foundation's already laid. You have come into the faith, saving faith. Accept that. So don't lay that again. Just accept it. It is God that has secured you and your eternity, not you. Move beyond it. Move beyond acts that lead to death. And there would have been acts that I could have committed in Africa that would have led to my death. Move beyond that. Move beyond faith in God. Isn't that interesting? Move beyond faith in God, instruction about cleansing, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Move beyond all of those things. Those are back at saving faith. Once those things are in you, accept them. Don't ever insult the Spirit of grace by saying, I don't know if I'm saved. If God has quickened you through the preaching of the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, to the saving of your soul, and to keep your soul for eternity, never insult him by saying, I don't know, because he's quickened you. Then you're free. And God permitting, we'll do just that. That's what it's at the end of that scripture. God permitting, we'll just do that. Do just that. So so that we don't wind up forgetting we've been cleansed from our former sins. Once you're past that faith, saving faith, it's your daily needs. Daily needs is a struggle. Because daily needs are like, I got bills to pay. I got responsibilities. I have commitments. I don't know how it's going to work out. There's so many struggles and things that pound away at us. Once you have accepted that God is your provider and lock that down, that faith that God is your provider, that you're trusting God for your provision, all of them, social, financial, health, all of your provisions, trust him, then that gets locked down and you've got God exists. I am saved. He meets all my needs. Then there's increased faith. And that's in Luke 17:5. The apostles came to Jesus and said, increase our faith. This is necessary for the Christian walk. This is necessary for increase in the local church. It is necessary to bring about the big things God wants us to do. If we're not bringing about big things, I question whether God is in it. Just look around. I mean, out the door, look at the mountain. It's pretty big. Look at the galaxy. It's pretty big. Look at the universe. It's big. He saved the whole earth. He saved all people of all tongues and all languages. He just does big things. If we can get through the three first beginning faiths and settle and never insult the Spirit of grace by going backwards, we can step forward in the work of faith that produces huge things that are on this church. The call of God and the vision that God's given the elders for this church, the big things, that's how they come to pass. If you find yourself struggling with, I wonder if God exists, and believe me, it might sound funny, but some Christians struggle with that. If they watch too many science shows or whatever, they can get struggling with that. Some Christians struggle with, am I forgiven? And other Christians struggle with, how am I going to make ends meet? But if we can get through those three things, the next step is increased faith. I want to just point out four things. There's only four things in the New Testament that God calls precious. Four in the whole New Testament that God calls precious. The blood of Christ. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's 1 Peter 1:19. The person of Jesus. Jesus, chosen by God and precious. That's 1 Peter 2:4. The promises of God. He has given us his very great and precious promises. That's 2 Peter 1:4. And faith. You have received a faith as precious as ours. Love is the most important. It motivates you. But without faith, nothing will get done. It is the worker. Faith is the worker. Love is the motivation. If you don't have love, you can do nothing. You need to be motivated by the love of God. Compassion for people. The work of God on earth and bringing that to pass. So you must be motivated by love. But without faith, nothing will get done. Zero. You will visit a church, minister to people, and go there 10 years later, and it will be the same people doing the same thing. Nothing will get done. You must have faith. So they prayed, or they asked Jesus, increase our faith. Just before that, I'll give you a couple scriptures about little faith. Matthew 8:26. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 16:8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Is it because you brought no bread? That's when they fed the 5,000. He is telling his disciples, you have little faith. You have little faith. You have little faith. You're not getting anything done. Matthew 17:20. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So they say, Jesus, increase our faith. So we can move mountains. That would be fun. Well, why increase your faith if a tiny amount can move a mountain? If a tiny amount, a grain of mustard seed, like you need a microscope to see it, why that much faith can move a mountain? Why do you need increased faith? How do these two ideas agree? Jesus' answer to their question, increase our faith, is revealing. I'm going to read it, and you see if you can see it, because I had to read it several times. It's in Luke 17:7-10. After they asked, increase our faith, this is what he said to them. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, after he's done plowing and looking after the sheep, come along now. You've worked hard all day. Sit down and eat. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, servant. Get yourself changed. You smell like the field. Get ready and wait on me. And while I eat and I drink, you stand here and fill my cup when it gets empty. That's what wait on me means. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Here's a servant, worked all day in a heat, came in stinky, was told to go get cleaned up and cook supper, and then stand beside the master, fill the cup while it empties. And then it says, after I'm all done, you can eat. Then he says, will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That's his answer to increase our faith. That's Jesus' answer to increase our faith. Did you get it? Did you get the answer? It took me a while to get this one. Jesus was saying, you can't increase faith's quantity because faith is measured in purity. You either believe or you don't believe. What would Yoda say? Do or do not. There is no try. You either believe or you don't believe. Faith is pure. So what's increased faith? What he was saying was, Once you believe I exist, once you've trusted me for your salvation, once you trust me for your daily needs, say, I'm unworthy. That's what he's saying. Once you are standing firm in those three things, you have done only what he has asked you to do. Jesus said a marvelous, wonderful, confusing statement. He said, oh, you're impressed with all the miracles I'm doing? Greater things will you do. Yeah, it's really quiet because I haven't seen a lot of greater things than what Jesus did. But what was he saying? He was saying, if you get the three beginning faiths down, say I'm unworthy because I'm calling you to do big things. Big, big things beyond your ability. That's a greater thing. It's a greater thing to do something you can't do. It's a greater thing to do things that are impossible for you to do. That's greater. And until you're seeing greater things done through your life, bigger than you can do, then you're still at the three beginning faiths. God produces greater things through moms and dads who see children's and grandchildren's and uncles and aunts and sisters and brothers and grandma and grandpas come to faith through their testimony. That's a greater thing. There's greater things that happen in our life when we trust God for our provisions and then step out in faith and sow into the kingdom our time, our talent, and our treasure and see something of greatness come to other people's that we're affectionately joined to, that we pray for in other places of the world, and they grow and get blessed. That's a greater thing. There's greater things when we see Sunday school, all the children going in there and being raised for Christ, and we see children growing up to become teenagers that grow up to become young adults and find their way into the kingdom and serve God. That's a greater thing. We can't do that. There's greater things for us to do. We need to see the greater things. These three beginning faiths keep us back. So we sometimes can get beyond them, step out, see a great thing, and then we go back. And we go back. Right back to, I wonder if God exists sometimes. Or I wonder if I'm saved sometimes. I wonder how I'm going to make ends meet sometimes. We can't continue there. It says in Hebrews 6, chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 6, 1 to 3, move beyond these things. You must move beyond these things. So Jesus was saying, the increase of faith isn't the quantity. It's the areas you apply faith to. The areas, first, second, third, greater things. The greater things, there is an unlimited amount that you can apply faith to. This is increase. This is stretching out your tent pegs. That's what that scripture means. You cannot stretch out a tent peg if you're worried about the first three. Your church, our church, other churches cannot grow beyond unless they deal with those three things and step out and invest faith into other areas larger than themselves. God always does what's larger than ourselves. If you want to do a good read, read Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll see the larger than yourself type of things that were done by faith. Stopping the mouths of lions. Right. I saw them. I got a t-shirt that says, whatever kills you, or whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Except for lions, they kill you. Right. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. That's a greater thing. And there's unlimited amount of greater things. But if you go inside and you see yourself struggling with the existence of God, or struggling with your salvation, or struggling with your daily needs, if you see those things, deal with those things before God. Make a stand that you will not dishonor the Spirit of grace through the gift of God to you, and then move out into the greater things. James 2, verse 16 to 18 says, If one of you says to anyone, go in peace, keep warm, be well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith with my deeds. Those faith deeds live beyond the first three faiths. That's where you see all the stuff happen. And I believe the Lord has great deeds for the Rock Terrace. Great and wonderful things, works that he pre-prepared for us to walk in, to see harvest and to see his kingdom come. And I believe that's where these things come about, when our faith is connected to God in every area, and that we are not afraid. Do not be fearful, ye of little faith, he said. Do not be afraid to step out into bigger things than yourself, as God calls you. And I am so proud of Cassandra, who is stepping out into a much bigger thing than herself. Mike wasn't lying. There's hundreds of young people there. There's five churches that they minister to through this one church. And there is not a female leader. And there's a lot of young women. So there's a great need there. It's far beyond her. And I believe with all my heart that we're going to see great things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.